This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Is there an automatic connection between a presidential tweet about trade and the stock market moving? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This Sunday, 2 days from now, the U.S. is set to begin collecting new 15% import taxes on a wide range of goods from China. The list of targeted imports hit by higher U.S. tariffs will then include television, smartwatches, footwear, and more. Marketplace's Erica Barris has an update.
Another round of tariffs? Michael Moore, professor at George Washington University, says these tariffs on goods like bike helmets and TVs will be more visible to everyday people than, say, the earlier steel tariffs.
Somebody goes out and buys some of these consumer goods, they're much more likely to see an increase in the price in a retail setting.
Steve Lamar with the American Apparel and Footwear Association says for some American companies, that will mean
that money is paid out of savings, it's paid out of not being able to hire more people, it's being paid out of not being able to make investments in product development or innovation or supply chain efficiencies.
Even after that, this will affect consumer spending, so says Jonathan Doe, professor at Villanova University.
It may be the case that consumers pay more. It may also be the case that they defer purchases.
Just in time for the holidays. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is up 0.6%. The Dow future is up 0.6%. The S&P future up 0.6%, as is the NASDAQ future, all 0.6%. All the same as if choreographed, maybe by computers. Well, not necessarily. It's been conventional wisdom in recent weeks and months that the stock market pivots on the status of the trade war. A conciliatory-sounding tweet from President Trump or a tough line out of Beijing and stock indicators move up or down. Now, to what extent in this era of algorithm-driven, machine-triggered trading are these moves automatic? Michael Kearns, a professor of computer science at the University of Pennsylvania, creates algorithms that are used on Wall Street. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's say President Trump tweets about the trade war, and there are software programs that are reading the tweets and making buy and sell orders based on the tweets. Is that how it works?
So, first of all, just the fact that a lot of trading is algorithmic doesn't mean that there's still not a lot of human initiative in the markets. The difficulty is that most computer programs that are quote-unquote reading text and acting on it need considerably more text than you can get in such a short tweet.
So when you think about it, what the markets may want to know is, does this increase the likelihood of more tensions, or are we easing back? And you may need, you're saying, more data to come up with that kind of conclusion.
The truth is probably somewhere in between algorithms autonomously reading and understanding that tweet, and at the other extreme, it being, you know, human beings forecasting likely market movements on their interpretations of that tweet.
I just wonder why there's this push toward automation anyway. Look, I get if there's a snapped headline saying Amalgamated Sprinkle Works is going to merge with Joe's Lawn Care, you could start trading on information like that right away. But President Trump saying we are closer to a trade deal, that happens fairly often, and sometimes we're closer to a trade deal, sometimes we're not. One wonders why there would even be an intention to automate that.
I mean, I think it's important to remember that if I read such a tweet, even if I don't think it really gives us any information about long-term trade negotiations, if I think that other people will react to that tweet in a particular way in the short run, things that look irrational in the long run can appear rational in the short term, and vice versa.
And actually, what you're describing is not just a feature of highly automated algorithms driving trades. There's been an impulse among market participants since probably time immemorial. The herd is going to think this. They're all about to do this. I'm going to do it more quickly just before they do.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And what's different about automating it is that it can happen much more rapidly. You know, in the old days, you couldn't trade 24/7, even in liquid stuff. And so, you know, every day, everybody kind of had to go home and digest what had happened and, you know, maybe calm down before the next day. And these kinds of safety nets, I think, are being, you know, eradicated by automation. Doesn't mean you couldn't put them back in with automation, but they're not kind of naturally present in the structure of markets today.
Michael Kearns is a professor of computer science at the University of Pennsylvania who, among other things, creates algorithms that can be used in the financial services industry. He's author of the forthcoming book, The Ethical Algorithm. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Another big story of the week, the Trump administration wants to roll back limits on methane emissions. This is a greenhouse gas that can trap even more heat in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. Methane can leak out into the air during drilling or hydraulic fracking for oil. The Environmental Protection Agency says this change could save the oil and gas industry about $19 million a year. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports on the fight ahead.
Environmental groups are already organizing their formal comments against the proposed regulation, which would ease requirements around monitoring for and fixing methane leaks. But David Doniger at the Natural Resources Defense Council doesn't expect public comments to sway the Trump administration.
And so they'll probably issue sometime next year a final rule, and then we will challenge that in court. We, states, a whole coalition.
The New York Attorney General has already said she would fight the changes if they go through. That legal battle could turn on just how the EPA is supposed to enforce the Clean Air Act, says Tom McGarrity of the University of Texas School of Law. He says for the Trump administration,
their best shot at that is to say this is purely a legal question. We just interpret the law differently than the Obama administration did.
McGarrity says if the EPA tries to argue that methane doesn't need to be regulated, that will be a much harder case to prove if this does end up in court. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Digital producers Miguel Contreras and Redmond Caralipio. Our engineer is Brian Allison. Our Marketplace fellow is Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.